What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I'm your host, Alex Pinnock, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Bolo. One more appearance for our special guest, D. Montalbano, the self-proclaimed tight end whisperer. Dino, we got the tight ends today. Let's go. It's your day.
Everyone knows it's my day. Everyone knows that when cornerbacks roll around, just fucking tone me out. And you know when tight ends come on? You know I'm spot on. I'm legit 100 for 100. It's crazy.
Yeah, your stock goes way up for the tight end episodes.
Way up.
Everybody knows it.
Extremely.
How are we doing, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, if Dean's stock's going up, I feel like Jordan Belfort and Wolf of Wall Street selling penny stocks, selling Dean off on a fucking on a high, gonna come crashing down in a week or so, but I'm good.
Yeah, but we make good commission on those.
Oh, of course, 50%, bro. Pink slips.
All right, like I said, we got the tight end rankings today. Interesting group. We're obviously going to talk about Brock Bowers at the top being a generational type prospect, but I do think there is some good depth, especially in this day three type of class. There are some interesting guys who could be tight end two, tight end threes, especially in the first 2 years of their NFL career. So let's get right to it. Top fives. Dino, we'll start with you. Who you got at number five?
Yeah, let's do it. And we got to start with State. It's going to be Theo Johnson, 6'6", 259, just an absolute athletic freak. Basically broke the charts in almost all combine testing. The only test he did lack in definitely made the most sense when you watch the tape, and that was his average three cone. Sadly, for all that athleticism, production took definitely a significant hit due to route capabilities, but something needs to definitely be said for his deep threat and red zone threat capabilities for sure. And those will translate to the next level. I truly believe, at the end of the day, it's really tough putting Theo above some of the other guys that I put before him. I don't want to play a spoiler. I'll chime in when you guys say yours and explain how I have Theo just ahead of them. Because there were some solid floor plays that I have out my top five for this draft, but he can truly be instantly utilized, I believe, in some two tight end sets in the red zone where he could definitely display his consistent hands, and he has a great nose for the end zone. 7 touchdowns this past year on, only what I believe like sub 40 catches or a little bit more than 40 catches. And he can definitely be just a seam threat where you don't ask much of him, but just to run straight, beat the guy in front of him and catch the ball, which he can do. And then if he potentially turns, his athleticism and potential into production, the pick is just an absolute home run in the, late day two, early day three range.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said, Ray. Where you got Theo?
Yeah, I got Theo at five as well. I like what Dean said a lot. I love the physicality of this player. He's a really good blocker, and I was kind of surprised by that. I feel like he wasn't getting a lot of praise from what I heard as his blocking ability, but he's someone who can come in and be an inline tight end from day one. Big body, like Dean mentioned, good length too. His agility, and he's not really fleet of foot, as Dean mentioned, but he does a good job of using that physicality at the top of his route to separate. I'd say almost a little too much. I feel like he may get flagged on that in the NFL. There are some reps where he's just literally throwing guys 5 yards away from him to get separation. It's pretty funny, actually. But he's sure-handed. I think he only had 2 drops this past season. And then I think he had a couple the season before, too. So sure-handed. He's got wide catch radius. And he's got ups, 39.5-inch vert, 10.5 broad. So he's an explosive athlete, as Dean mentioned. That should help be in the red zone. Some of the negatives I mentioned, he's not really nimble. So his route tree is going to be very, very little, not diverse. And he's going to struggle to separate in man coverage. Again, he's also not the biggest threat with the ball in his hands either. He's more of he's going to get the ball, turn up field, and try to get an extra 2 or 3 yards. So I view him as a solid tight end too. I think that's kind of like what's going to be his role. And if he, as Dean mentioned, if he continues to develop with that athleticism and become a legit red zone threat, he can be a average tight end one, I think.
Yeah, I got Theo at 6, so just outside my top 5. I agree with pretty much everything you guys said. I think for me, where I was struggling is that I think this is who he is, honestly. I think some of the other guys that I have a little bit higher than him may have more of a ceiling that they can go to, or they have more things that they can improve on. This is kind of who he is as a player, honestly. I think he is a tough blocker. You can leave him in line, like Dean said. good seam ball guy. He's got that good straight line, linear speed, but the lateral movements are just slow. Getting off the line of scrimmage is sluggish. And in zone coverage, like, he just has trouble finding soft spots in the zone too. Like, those athletic testing numbers are great, and I think he's going to get pushed up boards because of it, because he's such a freak. But honestly, when you watch the tape, those athletic numbers don't really match the tape all the time. So I think he's going to be a red zone target, a tight end too that you can bring in on heavy formations. And I think he does get drafted in day two somewhere, probably around three. I have a day three grade on him, an early day three grade on him at this point. But I do see the upside that he has. But honestly, I think this is kind of who he's going to be at the next level.
I agree. And one thing I didn't really mention too is, like, with that, like, he's not fleet of foot and the lack of agility, he gets tripped up a lot too.
Yeah.
On releases and trying to get in and out of his breaks, which is, I don't know if it's going to be a recurring issue with balance, but he's always stumbling, which is definitely something to be worried about. And I think it's proof of his lack of overall athleticism as opposed to just straight line.
Right. So you guys both have Theo at five. For me at five, I have Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona at five. Do you guys have him anywhere?
No, he's like at like 8 or 9, I think, for me.
Okay. So this past season, actually 6'5", 244, did some nice stuff at the combine. This year, 45 catches, 528 yards, and 4 touchdowns. This is a dude that just gives his all every single play. When the ball is in his hands, it's go time. Like, he will try to run over you. He's pretty elusive. He hurdles guys. He tries to do anything he can to make extra yards with the ball in his hands. He's a very good route runner. He really sells routes with his head and his shoulder fakes. He's good at feeling soft spots and coverage and zone. The hands are very reliable. He makes some really tough catches through contact. The game against Arizona, he got popped like 3 separate times coming over the middle, and he was able to hold on when his drops went from 4 to 0 this past season. I think he's kind of a versatile player that you can have as a power slot or as type of a wing back type of player. He played a ton of inline at Arizona, and I think those snaps are going to completely flip once he gets to the NFL. Because honestly, this dude gives you nothing as a blocker. I cannot believe how often they had him lined as an inline blocker. His technique with his punches and with his feet are horrible. Honestly, he misses blocks consistently, but he tries so hard. And you could see it on tape. Like, he just wants to make the block, but he just isn't there. And he's got a smaller frame. He's got shorter arms. So this is never going to be a guy that I really want to be solo blocking on big power defensive linemen, or we're never going to run behind him, whatever our zone or gap concept is. Got to add mass to that lower half just to hopefully have him play some inline blocking. But I'm hoping that once he gets with coaching, that they can at least improve on his technique and he can be serviceable as a tight end too in heavy formations. And then I wrote 50-50 balls. He's got really good body control, but I want to see him be a little bit more physical and dominate smaller players. He doesn't always high point the football, so just want to see him be a little bit more aggressive. But this is a guy that I feel comfortable playing in as that power slot that so many guys are starting to move towards, can really go against linebackers and smaller corners. And then when the ball is in his hands, that's where he's really at his best. So Tanner McLaughlin for me at number five.
Yeah, I think you did a good job with that evaluation. It just concerns me that he is really just a move tight end. Like you mentioned, smaller frame, shorter arms, and just a liability blocking wise, even though he is a max effort and gritty guy. But he does do some good things on the move. And he, like you mentioned, his effort is 100%, 110%, 100% of the time. So it's good to see. But just the type of player he is, I feel like there are other guys in that same mold who just give me a little bit more. That's why he's a little lower for me.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be for every team. That's just like pure fact of it. But I was looking at NFL tight end snaps this past season of guys playing in line and guys playing in the slot. I mean, there are a lot of teams that just have guys who are primarily power slot players as their tight ends. So there are teams that I think are going to like him and the role that he can bring as a tight end two, tight end three type of player. But like I said, I mean, there are probably half the teams in the NFL that are just not going to have this guy on his board because of what he can't do in terms of blocking. So I think he's got some juice, and I think he's got high upside, and I just really like his grit. He's this guy's going to be more than willing to play on special teams too, which is very important for a lot of these guys. All right, Dino, let's keep it rolling. Who you got at number four?
At number four, I guess this might be a little bit of a surprise, and that's going to be Dallin Holker, Colorado State.
Nice.
Old, 24, but 6'3", 241. So a little bit shorter than you'd like, but he does pass that 240 threshold that you do want to see with your tight ends. I wrote down a lot of things for him. I really try my best not to listen to any noise before we go into these, so I have no knowledge. But for Holker, it definitely seems like he's either going to be in your top five or, as we discussed off the podcast, or fairly outside of it, probably in your 10 range or even past that. At the end of the day, you just, if you believe in the massive breakout year that he did have, 64 receptions, 766 yards and 6 touchdowns, then you do. And then if you don't, you don't. I do understand it's only 1 year of production being the sole reason I am putting him in my top five, but I just really couldn't get away from his yak ability and how frequently, we see that translate to the pros and to the NFL. Holker had 15 forced missed tackles in 1 year on 65 catches. That is crazy. He tested really well. He definitely lacks speed with his, I believe he was like 4.75, 4.78, 40, but I just don't really think that matters for his game. On tape, I was surprised at the level of athleticism I saw truly. And what I wrote down, and I just feel like this is the most important thing you could most, I would say the best compliment you could give a tight end prospect. And I just put chain mover. I feel like he moved the chains almost every catch. 65 catches. I wish I tallied them, but just almost every one was for a first down, critical first down, third down catch. And that is going to be the biggest reason you gain chemistry with your quarterback. And we see it all the time. Sometimes we believe the next new tight end who is a lot better than the tight end we've always seen on an NFL team. And we're like, oh, he's definitely going to start getting a ton of catches, but we just don't see it. You see the quarterback going all reliable. I could see the Holker becoming an all reliable for a quarterback in the NFL. And definitely on top of that, he is a very fundamental blocker. And I just see him as a well-rounded guy. And I don't think that this 1 year was just a breakout year and then he's not going to build off of it. He could be, like I said, just a solid security blanket for an NFL quarterback.
Nice. Ray, where'd you have Holker?
I had him at 8. So I like Dean mentioned, I think what he does with the ball in his hands is impressive. He mentioned those 15 missed tackles forced. He's another one, though. He's not really going to play in line much, just 6'3". He does have good length. He's got over 33.5-inch arms. So he's kind of a unique build. But he only played in line, I think, 26% of the time last year. He played half his snap in the slot, and he even got used in the backfield a little bit too. So he's like really just an offensive chess piece for offensive coordinators. I like what he does underneath. Dean mentioned he ran a 4.78 40, but I think he's better in like those short area quickness areas. So he's someone that, like Dean mentioned, moving the chains. He's gonna be good on like third and like 4 or 5 range, and he's good fighting through contact too. I think he had 10 of 20. Contested catch rate this year too, so he's a greedy player, and I think he's gonna be someone that quarterbacks look for on third downs. He'll be a tight end 2 or 3, probably have to play some specials when he first gets into the league, but if he gets into the right spot, I think he can be make an impact on like third downs and two tight end situations, formations rather.
Yeah, I had him in the same range as you did. I had him just outside. Love what he does with the ball in his hands, but I thought the route running needs a lot of work, honestly. Just getting in and out of breaks, just changing his pace a lot. Like sometimes he's slow off the snap for a guy who's as good of an athlete as he is. And then I think in zone coverage, like there are times he's just like drifting into defenders when he should just be sitting down and waiting for it. So I struggle the role that he's going to have at the next level. And because I think if you play him at that power slot, like is he good enough or is he smart enough at this point to find those soft areas in the zone to be a chain mover? Like, I think at this point, like, he might be a guy you throw screens to and like use him in that type of area. But I just struggled with where I play him, especially in year one. So I have him a little outside, but I like his upside. If he can get with a good coaching staff that can really hone in on his skills, he does do a lot of good stuff with the ball in his hand. So, Dino, I like that call out at number four. Ray, who you got at number four?
I got Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. So this is a fun player. 6'4", 250. He's a prototypical chess piece, like I mentioned, similar to Holker, but I think even more so. This guy's a really good overall athlete. So he ran a 4.68 40, 40-inch vert, 10.6 broad. So he's one of those guys who absolutely blew up the combine. But he also has a 6.8 2.3 cone, which I think shows his overall athleticism. He's nimble. He's light on his feet. And he's got all the tools to be a really good route runner at the tight end position. I like when he's a hands catcher, too. He doesn't really let that go into his body at all. Only two drops this past year, and I think he had four the year before, so really good improvement in that regard. He's someone that you really want to move around. He played a lot of snaps as fullback. He plays slot. He can play inline a little bit, so a redshirt junior, I believe. So his redshirt sophomore season, he was an absolute liability blocking. And I think he kind of improved a little bit this past season. He's still a head dropper, and he lacks length. He's sub 33-inch arms. So he's never going to be someone that can do that full-time and you really want to do. But on split zone concepts and maybe just the occasional inline, just running, blocking on defensive ends, he can hold up a little bit. And I like his yak ability, too. He's someone, I think 48% of his yards came after the catch this past year. He's another one, I think he forced 14 missed tackles. So on the edges, especially with the hip drop tackle being banned, I think he's going to be a real weapon in that regard, just because he's a load to tackle, dude. He runs angry. He stiff arms, lowers his shoulder. So he's really good in that regard. Some of the negative aspects of him, he's short limbed. So he doesn't have the widest catch radius, and he's someone that you're going to have to kind of use in creative ways. Just like I mentioned, you don't want him in line all the time. And when he blocks, he's a head dropper. Because he doesn't have that much mass behind him, he tries to put everything behind it, and just he'll whiff way too often. So he's someone I think he's going to be used creatively. I think he's a tight end too, right off the bat. Maybe play a little bit of special teams, and I think he can be an Evan Engram type of tight end in the NFL. I think that's kind of like a comparison for him. So I really like him. I think he'll be a starter in a couple of years.
Yeah, I love that Evan Engram comparison. I think that's exactly how teams are going to use him. I have Ben Sinnott at three. I love this player. 49 catches, 676 yards, and 6 touchdowns. This is a dude that got a scholarship to South Dakota, and then he decided to walk on at Kansas State in high school. He was a five-sport letterman. He played baseball, he played golf, he played tennis, and he ran track. So this just shows you the type of elite athlete that he is, shows the hand-eye coordination that he has, and it shows on the football field. Really sure hands, like you said. He's got wiggle in his game. He's got power in his game when he's got the ball in his hands. I wrote, Sam Laporta at Iowa. They played a very similar style, and that was the things I really liked Sam Laporta coming out last year. He is not the blocker that Sam Laporta is, and is at the NFL level too, because I think the Lions really got a lot out of Sam Laporta this past season in terms of their blocking scheme. Obviously helps when you play with a really good offensive line, but he is not going to be that. But the way his Kansas State used him this past season, I really, really enjoyed it. Really good body control, contort his body when he goes up in the air. And he just looks like a natural when he's out on the football field. Some of these guys are a little clunky in their movements. Like, he is just a smooth mover when he runs routes and when he's got the ball in his hands. But like you said, the blocking can be an issue. He's a head ducker big time. The hand placement and the lower half don't always work in conjunction. He needs to add some lower body mass for sure. And then agreed with you here with his shorter arms. He's not really dominant at the catch point. This is not a guy that I'm throwing fade balls to unless the matchup's really great. But I think this guy is extremely versatile. This is a chess piece that you could play as your power slot full time. He's extremely heady. He's extremely high football IQ type of player. And this is a guy that gives it his all every play too, which I really love. So I got Ben Sinnott at three. You know where you got Sinnott?
Yeah, I got Sinnott at three as well. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I truly believe there is like a firm tier two. And it's going to be Sinnott, and with the number two guy. I don't know if you guys think differently.
I think there's a pretty big, not a pretty actually, yeah, I will say, I think there's a pretty big drop off between number two and Sanat, where I have him at That's three. Right. But I think he is in his own tier at three.
Gotcha. Okay. I respect that. And I agree with a lot of what you guys were saying, especially about his blocking prowess and how he really doesn't put it together a lot of the time. I just see him, though, and I see him as a guy who has definitely the strength to be an NFL player. And if that's the case, I feel like those other things, you know, hand placement, you know, head placement, and, you know, basically where he has his pad level, I think he can shore that up for sure with coaching. And then obviously you talk about his yak ability, another silly stat, you know, 14 forced missed tackles on 48 receptions. That again is silly. It's better than Holker's even, and it definitely showed on tape. Other than that, you guys did a great job covering it all. Definitely shocked by his athletic ability too. I just feel like he is fairly well-rounded and someone who, just like Ray said, I exactly agree. Just in a few years, I feel pretty confident he could be a starter and someone who can get longevity out of his NFL career pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised by him too, because I liked him over summer, but I think this year he took a massive step up from where we watched him in 2022. I was surprised I had him at three, but really good season. He's a very good player.
Yeah, I told you, Sauce, I thought I was going to be highest on him. I didn't think you guys were going to be that high on him. I was pissed off.
Where do you think he ends up going? Because I have around three grade on him. I think he probably gets to day three. If I had to make a guess, where do you think he ends up going?
I think him and my number three guy are going to be back end of round three. So I think, okay. I think they're kind of, I think, like, as you guys were talking about, like, the tiers, I think it's number one, number two, and then my three and four, I think, are in a tier of their own in that round three range.
Right. So I'm here at number four. I think this is the player that you're talking about. I have Cade Stover at four. And I actually do agree. I think I said Sanat was in a tier of his own, but I actually have these guys graded very, very similarly. Cade Stover from Ohio State, 6'4", 247, had 41 catches, 576 yards, and 5 touchdowns this past season. This is a dude that came in as a linebacker to Ohio State. Just a extremely smart football player and extremely tough football player. Really good blocker. He takes good angles. He looks to finish guys in the second level, which I love. It just show he's a linebacker, honestly, when he's blocking. He wants to kill people, which I love. I mentioned smart player in terms of knowing what defenses are looking and giving him as a former linebacker. He's excellent at finding soft spots in the zone. He always knows where the first down marker is, which I love. Like, you can see it on third down, third and seven, third and six. Like, he knows where the sticks is, and he's always going to get that. And they really trust him, Ohio State. Like, they look for him a lot, which in a team where you're playing with Marvin Harrison, Emeka Buka, and a bajillion five stars at wide receiver, like, they really trust this guy to go be a chain mover for them, which I think is a very big skill. He's really sure-handed, had zero drops this season. He was 6 for 10 in contested catch situations. He's got decent top-end speed when he runs those seam balls. And I think he's just a consistent player at this point that doesn't try to do anything that he's not capable of. So I think he's still learning the position. He's still got room to grow, where I think he does have a little bit more upside than he's showing right now. But I do think he has a high floor of the type of player that he is at this point. For me right now, the reason I have him a little bit lower than some of these guys, he's not an elite athlete in terms of his acceleration and the lateral agility. He runs a little bit too upright. He struggles to get in and out of breaks because of it. And then in the blocking, I think he blocks really tough and he takes really good angles. But I want to see his grip strength improve a little bit. I feel like he needs to sustain blocks a little longer. Sometimes he latches on and he lets guys go a little bit too early. Maybe he's just not looking to get a holding call. But I feel like there were sometimes he would just let guys go and then those guys end up making a tackle. So just sustaining his blocks a little bit longer for me, but really good player. Like I said, an extremely high floor player that I would be comfortable taking in round three.
Yeah. I mean, this was my number three guy. And I think outside of Bowers, I think he's the most well-rounded tight end of this bunch. He can do everything, to be honest with you. He's a blocker, really good blocker, in line. So I think he played 50% of the snaps in line. which is really good for someone his size. 6'4", 247. I think he's got a good size. Okay length, 32 3/4 arms. And you mentioned it, just average athleticism, but it's like it's not bad. You know what I mean? 4.65, 40, and he had a 4.45 short shuttle. So he can have some change of directions, and I think he can win in multiple in all phases of the game too, which I like. I think he can. He's a threat in the intermediate and on like chain moving opportunities, like you mentioned. He can attack the seam and like some crossers. I know he used a lot on like those intermediate crossers at Ohio State. And he can win at the catch point. Like you said, six of 10 was the number for uncontested catches. And I love how he just does whatever the team asked of him. He went from linebacker to tight end to linebacker to tight end. He just kept jumping around. And I think you mentioned how they trusted him so much and relied on him so much in this offense. And I think that's really telling, especially with how they used Ruckert. I think yes. I talked about this in summer scouting in particular, but Ruckert was a 5-star and they didn't use him half as much as they used Cade Stover. So I really do think that's telling in a wide receiver room and just skill position player room that's so crowded. Some of the negatives, we mentioned just the average athleticism, but I don't really consider that too much of a negative. I think the upside is probably limited because of that, though. And I think blocking wise, I do think he's a good blocker. I know he kind of got all pissy at the combine when someone called him out on it because of his grades or whatnot. But I think the one area where he can struggle where is in space on screens. There were some times where he would overrun like safeties and whatnot. And that's when it would cause like the big splash plays for the defense that kind of make him look bad. But overall, this is a guy who I think is a tight end too. Immediately, he'll be used a lot in 12 personnel. And he'll eventually be an average starter. So I think third round pick, you can't really complain if you're a team in need of a tight end to take him there.
Right. So Dean, I'm assuming you have Stover outside your top five.
Yeah. As I said at the top, when I was discussing Theo, I believe I have Stover at 7. So I just had him. He could have easily been 5, but for the reasons I laid out on Theo and for how I see him being utilized, he'll obviously not be a floor play just like Cade Stover. And I do like him a lot. And I love how Ray said exactly that he just did whatever the team asked for him. And that can't be replaced. That's an awesome trait to have, of course. And for that reason, he will be definitely used in the NFL. But I just really like Theo Johnson's size and what he could potentially do if his potential becomes production.
Right. So I'm not assuming. We all have Jatavion Sanders at 2 and Brock Bowers at 1. Right. Let's start with Ray here with Jatavion Sanders, because I know this is a guy that you really like.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think I mentioned he's in a tier of his own, I think, as tight end 2. I think I view him as a second round pick. I wouldn't be, if you take him in the back end of second round, like in that 50 to 75 range, I think it's a very good value. He's just an overall great athlete. He's a 5-star recruit coming out of high school. 13th overall player, and he's a true junior who's just been playing for Texas for the last like 2-3 years, which is really impressive. I think as a sophomore, he had 54 catches, 613 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And those numbers came down a little bit this past year. He had 45 catches, 682, and only 2 touchdowns. But this guy, he uses his size really, really well for a tight end. Only 6'4", 245, but he plays like he's 6'6", 260. 7 of 13 uncontested catch opportunities. I just think his body control when he goes up for the ball and his catch radius is probably his best trait right now. He's someone who – he only ran a 4.69 40, which I was pretty surprised by, but
yeah,
his athleticism is way more than that on tape. He can stretch the seam, and he's another one. On those crossers, he's used a lot. He was used a lot on screens and, like, short areas too. He's someone who isn't the best with the ball in his hand, surprisingly. Only 4 missed tackles forced, despite having half his yards come after the catch. I think a lot of that was kind of like schemed open and maybe on like deeper plays. But this is a guy who's going to come in and be a tight end one from day one. He can play in line and play on in the slot, but he's someone who definitely needs to improve his blocking in order to maximize his potential. If you want him being in line, he's got to get stronger. He's got to get better as a blocker, even though he does show the effort. And I think he has the tools to develop. He's got nearly 33-inch arms. So he's someone that I think will be a starter from day one. It'll take a year or so for him to really get going, as it usually does with young tight ends. But he's someone where I think he could be a top 10 tight end in 3 years.
Yeah, he's a really good player. I like everything you said. I really don't have too much else to add. Dino, you got anything else to add?
Yeah, no, I love Jatavion Sanders. I really thought this was a lackluster year, just like Ray said. I really thought he established great chemistry in his with Ewers in his sophomore year and would just catapult that towards an amazing junior year, which obviously we did not see, especially with Bijan and Roshan both going. I get it. That Flood is just like a zone gap running scheme guy, but I figured, you know, proof would be in the pudding that you have a, you know, you clearly have chemistry and you have a dynamic quarterback who could definitely sling the pigskin, as the kids would say. So I really thought he would have a great monster year. He didn't. I really don't think that hurts him because he was put in as an inline blocker more here than his sophomore season, which again, shocked. But I will say this, having no drops another year is massive in my opinion. I was shocked. I was pretty surprised at the end of last year, and I spoke on it in summer scouting, that he did have as nimble and as great hands as he does, and especially in traffic and how he just high points the football. I was impressed with that, and for him to build on that this year was great, regardless of having a lackluster year that was really not in his hands. He will be a matchup nightmare. He runs very crisp routes, especially in the short to intermediate, and he's a legit field stretcher, obviously. Cherry on top for me is that obviously he's still very young, only 21 years old.
Right. Yeah, I really comp this player to like a David Njoku type of player who maybe took a little bit longer to get going and get used to the speed and the strength of NFL guys. But you really saw in these last few years, David Njoku really break out. And I think that's kind of the role that he's going to play at the next level. And I know you said, I was surprised by those forced missed tackles number, because in the open field, like, he's got some twitch and he's got like some good lateral agility. So I do think those numbers maybe aren't as reflective of who he is with the ball in his hands, because this dude is a really good athlete. And I agree. Second round, this guy's got top 75 written all over him. Will be a very good player at the NFL. These tight ends are tough, because tight end's a very, very tough position to come into the NFL and be productive right away.
Yeah, for sure. And a fun comp I heard, I can't remember who said it. I don't want to fuck it up and give it credit to the wrong person, but Julius Thomas, someone compared him to. I thought that was really good comparison. Mm. Like throwback. That. I feel like very similar body types. And Julius Thomas was really good for a couple of years in Denver.
Yeah, he was. All right, let's talk about Brock Bowers. Dino, you want to start us? Okay, I'll start us.
I hate talking about the obvious number one.
Okay, I'll talk about Brock Bowers, because I fucking love this dude. Brock Bowers from Georgia, 6'3", 243. Had 56 catches this past season, 714 yards and 6 touchdowns. In 3 seasons, just elite production at Georgia. Had over 2,500 yards in 3 seasons and 26 touchdowns. As a tight end, those numbers are just astronomical. They don't happen. And he's just a rare tight end prospect. He's a 3-time All-American. This is just one of the best tight end prospects that we've seen in our lifetime. He's got a unique blend of speed and size and elite ball skills. He's arguably got the best hands of all the pass catchers. I would put him up there with Marv as having some of the best hands in this class. This past season, he was kind of on the wrong side of his contested catch numbers. He was just 2 for 9. But over the previous 2 seasons, he was 21 for 30 in contested catch situations. So I don't think those numbers this past year tell the full story, because when this dude's one-on-one with somebody, like, it's his ball. Like, there's really no way of getting around it. Even when he's covered, he's strong hands, and he's got the ability to use his body to shield off defenders. His ability to play with leverage and lean on linebackers and DBs to create separation is really effective. And honestly, his superpower, while the ball skills and everything is so dominant, his superpower is his ability after the catch. He could be shifty in the open field. He could be violent in the open field and run over people to create yards after the catch. Over the last 3 years, he's had 475 yards plus of yak after the catch. He can be used in so many ways to get the ball in his hands. He could be in line. He could play in the slot, out wide. They give him jet sweeps. They give him tosses behind the line of scrimmage. They throw him screens. This is just a complete versatile player, a complete chess piece that we always talk about. And then as a blocker, while he is a little smaller, he's got great technique as a blocker. His hands are always in a good striking position. He fires out of his stance, and he plays with violence. I love the way this dude plays. He brings it every single play, gives it his all. And you just don't get on the field and make an impact at a program like Georgia, especially as a young player, if you don't have these elite traits, if you don't love ball, and if you're not a high football IQ type of player. So I think this dude translates to the next level. Immediately, some of the weaknesses right now, I mentioned the lighter frame. Some teams will just be out on him because of that, especially very high in draft in the top 10, let's call it. They may not want him to be blocking against powerful defensive linemen. He may end up being used mainly as a slot player. Route nuance, while he's great at leaning on guys to create separation, he could struggle to get off press coverage a little bit. And I think it's because his release package at this point is just a little bit limited. So that stuff can all be coached up. And I think there's sometimes that he has a tendency to round some of his routes instead of making really sharp angular cuts, but he's such a good athlete. And I think this is going to come. And honestly, if that does come, he's going to be unguardable at the next level. I mean, this dude is just an awesome football player. And I'm really interested to see for teams that need weapons, where this guy is ranked compared to some of the wide receivers. Because I think you'd probably have the top three guys maybe ahead of him if you're a weapon-needy team. But I think he falls into that pass catcher four, pass catcher three type of range. So I think mid-teens is his floor. I think he really starts at the end of the top 10, I think, is where he could end up going.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, all world. He's single-handedly a defense shifter. The defense shifts. The whole defense shifts for this kind of guy. He's going to be he's not going to be a rookie. He's going to be a first-year veteran. He's unreal. He's going to instantly make his impact and stamp his foot down in the NFL. Obviously, that's, you know, regarding that he does obviously get better and have somewhat of a camp, which he might not even need one. Wherever you have him, he's definitely in everyone's top 10 big board rankings. And I like that, Sauce. I feel like I would much rather put this in the perspective of where he ranks as a prospect in this stacked pass catching draft class. And honestly, I have no idea where I'd put him. I really want to think about it for a second, actually.
Yeah, Ray, where would you rank him among the pass catchers?
5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not as high.
I know you're very high on Thomas.
Yeah, I'm not as high on. I mean, I like Bowers a lot. Like, so I just feel like the top 5 overall players in this class talk, I think it's a little much personally. I just think in terms of positional value and everything. But I agree with almost everything you said. On the strengths, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. One thing I will say is he is so much better of a blocker than I anticipated. He is like Joe Alt. As a tight end, his hands are always in the right place, locks out, keeps his leg driving, and despite the small frame, he's strong as shit. So there are no problems with him playing in line. He's an insane blocker. That being said, he's going to be playing a lot of slot too. I'm concerned with a couple things. I don't know how well the yak ability will translate to the NFL. That always concerns me a little bit. He's at 67% of his yards after the catch this past year. That's just a very high clip. I just don't know how well it's going to translate against NFL guys who are bigger, faster, stronger. And a lot of those, a lot of his target share was on those, like, short, flat dump-offs and screens and stuff like that. So it's one little concern. Another thing is I feel like I have seen him this past season where he would kind of alligator arms over the middle. It was almost like a hospital ball, but, like, he was more like, okay, like, I'm going to the NFL. Let's not kill myself right here. Cause I did see a couple of those over the course of the year, which is hard to blame too much, but it is something that I guess I want to kind of see my tight end, like, you know, get run over by a fucking train and still come down with the ball. But besides that, I'll probably have him closer to that 10 range on my big board than 5, but day one starter, he'll be a top 7 tight end by the end of his rookie year. So it's really hard to bash on him too much, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think this year he had the tightrope injury, but he came back from it. So it's a dude that is gritty. He's willing to play for his team, like, through injury. He missed a couple games. But again, like you said, like some of those hospital balls, I think some of them may be a business decision, especially with the injury. Like, you know, he's going to be making a lot of money in the NFL. Let's not go too crazy, but
it's a business.
I mean, he was begging Kirby to let him play in games that they didn't really need at the end of the season too.
Yeah, so that was cool. I love
this dude is tough as shit. I do just think it translates right away. And man, if he's on the Jets, not saying that I want the Jets to take him, but if he's on the Jets, I just see so many interesting things that we can do with him with Aaron Rodgers. All I see is play action boots with Rodgers, with Bowers coming across the line of scrimmage, giving him those little flat dump offs and letting him go. Like, that stuff is just so enticing to me.
Ray, I can only imagine how upset Ray would be if we drifted.
Ray would talk himself into it so fast.
He would really fastly. That is
We're
very
kidding.
Fastly. He would very fast.
He would be so pissed for 10 seconds and then be like, holy fuck, Brock Bauer is the best tight end prospect of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't say really pissed, but I'll be a little upset. But yeah, I mean, it really all comes down to asset allocation and kind of value. So that's really where it comes down to me. But he's going to be a damn good player.
Right. All right, let's run through our top fives, and then we'll mention a few guys outside. So, Dino, why don't you start us up?
Yeah, sure. I got Bowers at one. I got Jatavion Sanders out of Texas at two. Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State at three. Dallin Hulker out of Colorado State at four. And then Theo Johnson, Go State, at five.
Nice. Ray, what'd you have?
I got Brock Bowers at one, Jatavion Sanders at two, Cade Stover at Ohio State at three, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State at four, and Theo Johnson at five.
Nice. So I had Bowers at one, Jatavion Sanders at two, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State at three, Cade Stover from Ohio State at four, and then Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona at five. Ray, who's the guy outside your top five that you want to talk about?
Thanks for letting me go first so Dean doesn't steal him from me. I appreciate that. Oh, God. It's good host right there. But I got to talk about my guy, Jaheim Bell. This guy, I don't know
why this is your guy.
I just watching him, like, I feel like someone's going to have to get something out of him. It'd be an absolute crime for someone not to. I just think in today's game, when we're talking about power slots, tight ends playing it, like, if we're talking about power slots, how are we not talking about Jaheim Bell? I think he's built like a wide receiver, and he can play some running back. He's so unique. 6'2", 241. He ran a 4.6, 140, I believe. 35-inch vert, 10.4 broad. So he's just an all-world athlete. And I just think he can just be used in such a variety of ways. I would love to see him go to someone from that Shanahan tree, whether it be San Francisco or Houston. I think just having him as a move tight end, fullback, power slot, I think he can thrive in that role. I think he's good with the ball in his hands. This past year at Florida State, he was 39 catches, 503 yards, and two touchdowns, and he had 315 yards after the catch. So he's just someone who I really do think that the athleticism will play. And the big thing for him is that he needs to play special teams right away. That's the only way he'll be able to stick. I think he's got to be committed to specials and earn his role as a true Swiss Army knife weapon. And if he can do that, I think he'll stick around.
Yeah, he's, I mean,
like,
talk about it.
I got to do one more thing.
Go ahead.
I don't know why I'm blanking. Who's our fourth tight end that for some reason we're obsessed with, the converted wide receiver?
Nesbitt?
No, for the Jets. Sorry.
Oh, Kuntz?
No, not Kuntz. He's from the old regime. He's been here for like 3 years. Oh my God, why am I blanking on his name?
Yeboah?
Yes, Kenny. Like, if Kenny Yeboah has a job in the NFL, how are you not letting Jaheim Bell do exactly what he does?
Kenny Yeboah's got a job, but he's not doing anything.
Yeah, but like just put him on special teams and then like let him play on offense a little bit as a Swiss Army knife. Like, that's just the way I think about it. Like, I'd take Jaheim Bell over Kenny fucking Yeboah any day of the week.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I honestly think his best tape is at running back. Like, the stuff that he does with the ball in his hands is really good. But, I mean, the route running just, like, isn't there. I just struggle having a role for him. And we mentioned a bunch of these guys who, like, don't have roles. Like, he even gives less as a blocker than some of these guys. So, it really is team fit. Like, there are so many teams that are – this guy is not for them. But I agree, those Shanahan-type schemes, like, maybe he could get in and play like that Kyle Juszczyk role. Like, if that's who he is, then great. I just struggle with him, man. He's got to be willing to play special teams early, like you said, because I just struggle to see a role for him in year one and honestly in year two. Dino, who you got?
Can I boycott for Ray taking my guy?
Sure. I'll talk about
it. No, I'm kidding. I do wanna shout out Tip.
Ooh, nice.
Tip Ryman had like I think a total of maybe 50.
He had like four catches.
Yeah, in his college career. But teams that play a lot of 12 personnel, I would like to see them add him. You look at probably like the Chiefs or the Seahawks, something like that. I think it could be kind of cool. He could come in. He's got the strength to be a competent blocker. And then he is a really kind of – I could just see him being a tight end that's in the NFL for 7 years. And you're like, what? Tip Ryman? And he averages like, you know, five catches a year. He does have a little bit of – a little bit of burst off of the line of scrimmage and could definitely have just a guy that you randomly see have two touchdowns on two catches on week four randomly in a year because he's just in some 12 personnel sets and they flush him out and somehow he gets a touchdown and fantasy guys are talking about him. So just wanted to shout out Tip, mostly because of his name and a guy who probably in the sixth, seventh round, or maybe even undrafted, who could be in the NFL for a few years.
Yeah. Oh, I thought like Brock Wright when I was watching this guy. Yeah, he's on the Lions. He's like a tight end two, tight end three.
Yeah.
Who actually just got paid a little bit by the 49ers. Like he got like a 3-year deal. Like this is exactly who I see.
They're important players, dude.
Yeah, they are important players, especially for those teams, like you said, who like to run a lot of 12 personnel.
Lot of teams are running in the 30 to 40 percentiles now. It's becoming.
I like it. I like the call out. I mean,
he's a regained art.
He's 10 for me. But I agree. I think he could be a useful player at the next level. He's extremely good blocker at this point. I'll talk about Eric Ball, a guy we talked about over summer from Iowa, 6'4", 252. This past season had 21 catches, 299 yards, and 3 touchdowns in 7 games. Tore his ACL. Back-to-back seasons with season-ending injuries this season, obviously, like I said, the torn ACL. And in 2022, he had back surgery. I think he had a spine issue in 2022. So very scary injury there. But this is an extremely good athlete. He can really get in and out of his breaks and run really good routes. He's tough. He's got some wiggle after the catch. He's got long arms, can make catches outside of his frame. But the medicals for him are going to be extremely important. And then as a blocker, I think he needs to get a little bit more physical. I think he can be a functional blocker with his strength, but some of the technique he needs to clean up. And then drops have been an issue for him. He had 4 drops in 7 games this past season, and he had 4 the previous full season in 2021. But he's a really interesting player. On day 3, take a swing for this guy and pray to God that he can stay healthy for a few years and not take on any of these major injuries. Like, he'll give you something if he's healthy. So he's a really interesting player on day 3. I think he ends up going. But yeah, the medical for him is the big flag.
Yeah, medical is everything. I'm curious to see where he ends up going. I think it'll tell you how that medical went.
If he's fully healthy, like he's probably 3 for me.
Yeah, he did my top
5. Over these past 2 seasons. Yeah, like if he's healthy, like this is a really good player. But a back injury is really rough, and then coming off an ACL, obviously, are 2 tough injuries. All right, boys, that was a good one. What else we got? We got safeties coming out soon, got running backs, got my guys, got big boards, got mock drafts. Man, I mean, the draft is getting so close. I'm so excited. I know you guys are. That's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our tight end rankings. Stay locked in with us. Like I said, safeties are coming out next. A group that's got some interesting guys, so I'm excited to talk about those. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at @2Tackles2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards this 2024 NFL draft. Fellas, we're under a month. Let's get it. Appreciate you, boys.